Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning. How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Y'all doing well. All right, so first service, we did something called, what did I call it? Welcome stretches. All righty. So I need you to take your right hand. Now extend it to the person next to you and give them a high five, give them a shake, do something. That I ain't got no friends. I don't. Okay, great, great. Now we're going to take our left arm, our left hand. We're going to take, Will, take your left arm. Wow. And now extend it to the person next to you and be like, hello. It's great to see you this morning. Y'all woke? Do some high knees real quick. Get some high knees in there. Just wake up a little bit. All right, if you're awake in the Lord, let me hear you shout real quick. The choir team's awake. If y'all want worship, come on and just praise. Come on and just give God a shout.
Come on, I want to hear you today. Oh, 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 oh. Well, shout it out, shout it out.
Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I feel like that was good, but I feel like we could give God more. Come on, our praise doesn't stop just because the music does. Come on. Give God everything you had. If you're ready to raise a hallelujah, come on, give God a shout of praise today. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a I raise a hallelujah.
this is your declaration today.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Come on and lift your hands and give God praise. Come on and lift your hands and give God worship. Come on, just talk to your Father. Let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much you love to praise his name for all that he's done, all that he will do, Lord God. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving me the ability to worship your name in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Hallelujah. You gave me this mouth so I can literally testify of your greatness, Lord God. You gave me my arms and my legs so I can jump and I can lift my praise up to you. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and sing praises.
Praise is what I do when I wanna be close to you. I lift my hands in praise.
Come on and sing praises who I am.
Praise is who I am. I will praise you while I can, and I'll bless you at all times.
Come on and sing, I vow.
And I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. Sing, I'll praise you.
Sing it all.
In all that I know, because praise is what I
do.
Sing, it's what I
do.
Hallelujah. Sing, and I owe it.
And I owe it all to you.
Hallelujah. Come on and sing, praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
Sing when I want to be close to you.
I want to be close to you.
But I lift my hands.
I lift my hands in praise.
Come on. Sing praise is who I am.
Praise is who I am.
And Lord, I'll praise you while I can.
Praise you while I can.
Yes, I'll bless you. Whether happy or sad,
sing,
I'll praise your name.
I'll praise you.
In all that I go
through,
oh, because yes, it's what I do. And I owe it.
And I owe it all.
Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and give God praise. Come on and lift your hands and give God all the praise that you can. Come on and lift your hands and just shout unto the Lord, for he's worthy. Shout unto the Lord with triumph. Shout unto the Lord with praise, for he's worthy. Hallelujah. It's what I do. Yeah. Come on and sing that. Sing praise is what I do.
It's what I do.
on, one more time. Say, praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
Yeah. Say,
it's what I do.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So many of us just love to praise Him when it's good times. How many of you know you got to praise Him through the bad times too? In fact, the Bible says that the Lord encamps around those who love Him, and He says that He is in the midst of our praise. So if you need a healing in your body, you need God to deliver you from something, you want more of the presence of God. So praise is your key to release more of the power and the presence of the Master. So actually, it is the key to your victory. So the more trouble you're feeling, the more praise you should give. May I tell you, I've had a challenging year. And I've learned even more this year than any other. That when the difficulties are in front of you, when things are being done, you've got to praise through it, man. And when the presence of God fills your room, when the presence of God fills you up, your eyes change. The Bible says you're no longer looking down, you're looking up. And when you look up, your redemption draws nigh. So the more you praise Him, the more you're going to be free. You know, I know that guys struggle with praise. Guys struggle with worship. You know what it used to be? We used to have 100 men, 50 to 100 men would always sit out in the foyer until after the worship service was done, and then they'd come in. And you know, we've at least seen a migration. Amen. Men, I challenge you, it is not unmanly to praise. Men, if you want your wives to love you more, the more you praise, the more your wives will love you. It's true, isn't it? It's true. Women love a man that worships. They'll sit there and stare at you. And they'll be thinking, I love him. Man, if you... Let me see. I got to see if I want to... If... Yeah. You want me to say it? Man, if you want to have more of a greater intimate relationship with your spouse, the more you praise, the more they want you. Listen, it is not unmanly to praise. It's smart to praise. Number one, the presence of God. Number two, man, young ladies are looking for man that will worship God. Because it takes a man to worship God. It takes a man to be willing to lift his hands and to sing unto God. Dude, you worship. I'm talking like, honest. I couldn't do what you do, I'd break a limb. But you know, it's important to know that when ladies are looking for you guys, you're trying to look studly. Actually, a woman is more attracted to you if you love God more. If you'll worship, your wife will love you more. Young man, if you want a girl, come on now. I think I told this story before, but the right girl. But I think I told this story before. I had this guy. He was homely. And this really pretty girl in the church married him. And I was confused. No, Josh, I'm not talking about you. And I was confused. And I said, I don't understand why she chose him. That was confusing to me. So I asked her one day, you know, it was just that kind of moment you could ask. And I said, you know, just interested, you know, why did you choose it? She goes, I just love the way he prays. I love the way he worships. And I love the God inside of him. It was great until he lost the God inside of him. And then she lost her attraction to him. Oh, by the way, they're not together any longer. Because you want to know what's most powerful, ladies, is getting a man who loves God more than he loves you. Amen? So in all this, it's a whole sermon in and of itself. You want to be loved more? Men, worship more. Amen. Don't be ashamed to worship. Don't be afraid to lift your hands. Don't be afraid to worship. Don't be afraid to leave your wife in her seat and you come to the altar. Amen. It's going to change your life. It will change your wife. It will change your children. It will change everything. I challenge you. This is what I do. I worship you. Amen. Enjoy Jesus. On your way back to your chair, can you welcome five or six folks and say, hey, I'm gonna worship God whether you like it or not. Don't go sit down now. Don't go sit down. Don't sit down now. Go find somebody. Shake their hand. Behind you and say, good morning. I'm so glad you're here in the house of God. My name is.
Grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We are incredibly excited you could be here. The Bible declares this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful that independent of what the weather is like outside, we know that there's something even more powerful inside here. That's the power and the presence of the Lord, and we are so excited to be worshiping with you today. If this is your first time here at His Tab, can I just see you lift up your hand just like this? This is your first time at His Tabernacle. Amen. Awesome. Look at all of our first-time guests. Welcome, welcome. So if you have not received a guest packet yet, please keep your hands lifted up. We have our team coming through right now to hand you a guest packet. I also want to personally invite you to our guest reception after service. It's going to be on my left, your right. We have some coffee in there. You get to meet some of the people on staff. And we want to just say thank you so much for coming to worship with us. So again, let's put our hands together one more time for our first-time guests. Awesome. All right, we have a few announcements for you. This Thursday, it is Harvest Fest. Who is excited for Harvest Fest? It's going to be such an amazing time. If you have not yet given to our candy drive, we want to encourage you that during this week, stop by any of the stores and bring in a bag of candy, pray over it, and then be able to drop it off for our kids for Harvest Fest. If you would like to participate in that, please go see Pastor Aaron and make sure that you can get signed up to be helping out with that. We also have a guest speaker next Sunday. Who remembers Uproar Conference where we have Pastor Chris Estrada? Awesome. He's going to be with us next Sunday, so we're incredibly excited for 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. I want to encourage you to bring a guest. It's going to be a great time. We also have Freedom weekend coming up. This is going to be a time for, it will be a Friday and Saturday that is designed for those who are new or those that need a spiritual breakthrough in your life. You're going to have a supernatural encounter. You're going to get not only the word and the power of God, but practical tools for you to remain free. So I want to encourage you, if you are interested in that, to sign up in the foyer. It's going to be November 1st and November 2nd. This Friday and this Saturday, it is going to be life transforming. So we want to give you that chance to sign up. Also, we have our new Grow Books. Who's been enjoying the series so far? So these Grow Books are going to be a very practical tool for you to not only follow along with what Pastor is preaching, but for you to have tools in your hands. You can go back home and apply these tools. We are believing for a debt-free church. We're believing for a supernaturally, financially blessed church. And we believe that this is going to be a tool to help you with that. So these are $10 that you can purchase in the foyer as well. Amen? At this time, please direct your attention to the screen. We have some video announcements for you.
No More Hurt Seminar, November 8th and 9th in Mansfield, PA. Featuring Pastor Rhonda Spencer, a gifted speaker, minister, and author. No More Hurt, free and open to everyone.
Hey family, we know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses, and you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, HT family, we want to see you at a group, and y'all got to get as psyched as she is because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We want to see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Amen. Make sure you get involved. There is so much going on at His Tabernacle, especially this coming week with our Harvest Fest. It is an awesome time every year. Maybe you've never participated before or you haven't yet. It's not too late. Go out to the information booth and get signed up. We are just coming back from our encounter weekend, and this is a small portion of the ladies. We had some in first service, but I've asked them just to share in a couple words what God did for them this weekend, and so let's hear it.
Restoration and love.
These Egyptians I will not see again, almost done.
In a moment, God brought restoration and transformation.
I am confidently moving forward in Him as I allow Him to carry my bags.
Renewed, restored, and transformed.
He told me He has a place for me and He's launching me out. I am set free and restored.
Break through and be still.
Next level ministry.
Amen. If you've been to Women's Encounter, could you just stand up all over this place? If you've been to Women's Encounter, yes, awesome. If you have not been, you need to sign up and get involved. It is such a powerful time. We just had a blessed weekend. So make sure you get signed up for one. And if you've already been on one, we have a reunion coming up in February, right? February? Awesome. All right. So we're going to enter into this time of tithes and offerings. And what we've been doing, we've been on this series of finances. We've wanted to share the testimonies of what God has done for those that have been faithful in their finances. There's so many testimonies. We hear them every single, Pastor and I get to hear them every single week. So we want to be faithful and share those testimonies with you. So here's Terry and Kayla with powerful, powerful testimony.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? This is my wife, Kayla.
Hey.
Oh. Okay, so I guess I'm starting off this time. Thanks. So we got married pretty young. I think we're like 19 or 20. We're not that young now, but, you know, if you thought that, that's okay. So we got married really young. He had an excellent job. I was a server. I got pregnant right away. And then, of course, after I had my second baby, like just I think we brought him home, he got laid off. And it was kind of a trend with this company. He was making a lot at that point, so it was in the union. They laid him off, and so he decided to start his own business. So obviously starting a business is pretty slow initially, and then I had just had a baby, and I was a server, so I didn't have that. So then we had the mortgage, we had credit cards, and things started getting really out of control. It got really, really stressful, and it seemed to last forever. It seemed like a big hole is basically where it went. And it got to the point where we didn't have any food. We would work and make just enough to pay a debtor off before they took something. So it was like catch up. And we got to this point where we had just made a little bit of money and we paid our mortgage so we could keep our home. And then we had some left over, and it was just enough to tithe or to buy groceries. And we tell this in Growth Track. So that's when you really have to decide, like, is the Bible true? Do I actually believe what it says? Or is this a fun thing that I participate in? And we had two little boys at that point, and, you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm not going to be a bad mom and not feed my children. But we looked at each other in the kitchen of our little house, and we decided to believe God. And we decided to tithe that money. Not even, well, maybe next week, because we didn't get paid on a certain day. We got paid when we got a job and finished it. So this, we didn't know when we were getting paid next, and I didn't have a can of beans in my food pantry. So nobody knew. We didn't post it on Facebook. Our family members didn't know. We didn't tell them. So in that moment, we just said, God, well, I actually think we said, God, you better pull through. I'm pretty sure that's what we said. We were very straightforward. We made the decision. We put the money aside. And I'm thinking, all right, well, we'll fast for a little while. An hour later, someone knocked on our door and gave us $100. I had written out a grocery list, and I went to the store, and I couldn't get everything on the list, but I could get most of it. So I was like, I can make this work. This is gonna be good. I felt blessed. I was okay with it. So I went to the store, and I'm going, and I'm putting things in my cart, and this lady comes up to me, and she said, God told me to give you everything in my wallet.
It's dusty.
So it's just, it shows the power of God and that he's so true to his word. In America, we don't get put in situations like that often. I'm sure we could have gone down and gotten help from the city or something, but we didn't want to. We wanted help from God. And so in that season of our life, that was such a powerful, powerful thing where we will never not tithe. He came through. The word says, try me in this thing. And he did. He pulled through like that. I had money left over, guys. I got everything on my list and I had money left over. And he's done so many powerful things in our life. And on top of that, and I didn't look at the time when we came out, so I don't know. Can you talk on sewing or no? Do we need to? I didn't look at the time when we came out, so I don't know. Okay. So I was really good with tithing. So I was sold in tithing. Tithing is powerful. I have to tithe. So, but then my husband always has to take it a step further because he's a little extra. So this caused huge marital problems because finances can do that. We already, you know, we were still trying to build a business and get things going. And this guy wanted to give all our money to the church. And I was like, they're good. We need stuff. Like, we need to do things. But he sowed us out of poverty. So I just want him to talk a little bit about that for a minute because I took all the money.
Okay, good. So, I mean, when I was working, I was making decent money. But when I was laid off, we didn't even qualify for help because I made too much on paper, but they didn't see my empty bank account. So with that plowing the way for us and fast forwarding 10 years, 11 years to where we're at today, God has been so good, and you couldn't talk me out of his word and his promises because we've seen too much. So building a business, we went from side jobs and picking and choosing what we could, and I wasn't a businessman, so I would get a job, I would bid a job, and then I would take money out of my own pocket to finish a job because I didn't do it right. But I surrounded myself with businessmen, and I surrounded myself with people that were successful, and I sowed and sowed and sowed. So from where we started to where we're at today, we're successfully running a six-figure business that is going to be stepping into the seven figures in just a couple of years. And not just that, I know like that might be a little bit to some of you, that might be a lot to some of you, but it is completely 110% debt-free. And on top of that, we were able to launch another business, and it's like a franchise style. So there's startup costs, like any company that you wanted to start up. And it was about $20,000 that I needed to start this. Now, because we've had an interesting time in our new home, a lot of our savings have been depleted to fix this beautiful house that we're in. So I needed $20,000, and I needed it quick to secure a territory. So I asked God, like I do anything when I need something, I asked him, what should I sow? And I had a certain amount that I had set aside that I had been saving over the past few months, $5 bills and loose change here and there. And it was just something, it wasn't a lot, but it was something like, this isn't for God, it's not for the church, it's not for my secret stash that my wife knew about. I had it up in my John Wayne collection. Now this is like the Holy Grail, you just don't touch it. So she was off limits to it, the kids were off limits, and God was off limits to it. But then I got to a point where I needed something. So I said, God, what should I sow? And he said, I want what you said that I can't have. And it was just a measly $204 that I had saved up. And of course, I was a little irritated by it, but I said, okay, because I know you and I know me, and we're going to get this done. So I brought it to the house, I sewed it, and a long story short, we didn't get $20,000. We were gifted $30,000, gifted from a source that we wouldn't have thought would come that route. And it was just provided. Now, this new business, I've already had haters. I was climbing a ladder and a guy was yelling out his window at me, and people have said it's not going to work around here, but they don't know what God did to bring this to me. Okay? So I don't even need to get into that, but we are lifetime sowers. We are faithful tithers, and we will never stop that. And he has always proven himself time and time and time again. And we're all in the same building, we're all under the same teaching, you're getting the same information that we get, we're choosing to apply it to our life. So if you're stuck in a spot, listen for what God has to say to you, sow that seed in obedience. But if you don't, then you're just going to keep yourself there, and it's nobody else to blame but you. This is solid information. It works. and you couldn't talk me out of it. I've seen too much. I've come too far. This works.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So awesome. So if you're ready in the house this morning to participate in kingdom finances, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration. This is from the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it explains what happens when we choose to obey, like Terry and Kayla were talking about, when we choose to obey. So as we're saying this, I want you to declare it prophetically over your finances. Speak over your finances as you're obedient to God to give in His house. So if you repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Watching by a live stream, click on the giving button, or you can even text to give right along with us.
Lord, aren't you blessed? We are so blessed to have a great worship team. We just thank God for them. I love being able to be brought into the presence of the Lord. We are, this is a great day. You know what's funny is I look out and I see there are a lot of empty chairs, but it's amazing to me. People don't like to come out in the rain for whatever reason. I don't get it. It will snow. Listen, it snows here and you'll all come out. It rains and everybody stays home. I don't get it. We don't live in the South. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, fill your row. Turn to someone and say, fill your row. Amen. We want to be able to do two things. Number one, many of you brought your finances in your manila envelope or however you brought them. If you brought them, I want to encourage you, come right out of your chair now and bring them right to the front. Put them right on the altar just before we begin with the sermon. If you've done the finances, bring them on forward. Amen. While they're bringing it forward, I want to talk to you today about, real quickly, about a need that we have. How many of you know sometimes you got to do some maintenance work in your house? Well, this is God's house. This is where we live. Amen. This is our house. It's called our church. And we have some maintenance that needs to be done before winter. And I want to bring it to you. For those who are our guests, this is not about you or for you. This is for our home, our family. And that is, we have to do something with our parking lot. Say amen or oh my. The parking lot cost us $250,000 about 6 years ago. And we need to do some maintenance on it. They've given us an estimate to top it at $120,000. And or we can seal it. Everybody say, seal the thing. We can seal it for $24,000. And so we need to seal it before winter. We already had somebody sew $1,000. My wife and I are going to sew $1,000. And anybody else who'd like to give to that, you're more than welcome. If you are interested in helping take care of the parking lot to make sure we are good stewards of what God has given us, if you would like an envelope, you can just slide your hand up. The ushers are waiting for you right now. Slide your hand up real quickly. Anybody? Right in front row. Thank God there's one. Anybody else? Thank over here. Praise the Lord over here. Whatever God lays on your heart, we're not trying to twist your arm. Whatever God lays on your heart to give, I would encourage everyone to give something. This is your house. Amen. And if we don't take care of it, then it won't be here. So I just thank God that we can all do that. And what we're going to do is we're going to have the offering plates in the back at the end of service. Oh, we're prepared to pass a plate? Great. So we're going to have Sam. Where are you, Sam? Sam the man. So what we need is we're going to have the offering plates be passed real quickly. And if someone can take mine as well. Do we have offering plates that we're going to be doing with, Code? Baskets, very good. I don't usually like to do that, but I wanted to do it before the sermon, not after the sermon, and so that you don't think we're trying to manipulate anybody. If you don't feel led to do that, that's your choice. That's fine. It's between you and Jesus. But like Terry and Kayla were saying, this is a great time to sow, and this is a great house. Amen? But we got to take care of it before winter. They're going to reline it. It's going to be pretty out back. It's going to be all nice retard, and it's going to look good. So if you are interested, very good. They're going to be passing the baskets right now. Thank the Lord. All right, praise God. How many of you got your grow books? Amen. Make sure you get your grow book today. There are going to be a bunch of things in the grow book that you're going to be using from today's sermon, and we want to make sure that you have them set. This is the year of... Come on, shout it out loud. This is the year of... Next level. We've been going through a whole lot on next level, a whole lot of next level faith, next level relationships, next level with our relationship with God, which is our number one priority. Amen. We also been talking about next level dealing with finances. And we started this 2 weeks ago, or last week. We were talking about the power of debt and how debt destroys families. The number one and number two reason for divorce is sex and money. Money's a real issue in our world. Money's a real issue in our families. And we want to make sure as God's family that you know how to use finances. Turn to someone and say, poor is not fun. Listen, I was actually with a man just the other day, and he's lived under the bridges, and he's lived with his mom. And I said to him as I picked him up, he was a hitchhiker. I said, you know, I don't understand, you know, why I actually said to him, you know, where do you live? And he's told me what he was doing. And I said, why don't you, I believe CVS is hiring at $15 an hour. And we've got, you know, these other companies locally that are hiring. And when I started talking about hiring, he got awful quiet. Because he said, well, I get SSI. I said, are you disabled? He goes, well, I was depressed once. And I said, you know, the fact is that that you've got to work. Amen. Turn to someone and say, you got to work. Listen, I know that there's really people that are disabled, and praise the Lord, we're going to believe God for a healing for your life. Can I hear an amen? But there are people that need SSI, and that's what it's there for. But there are many that are taking advantage. And in our region, it is very normal for people to take advantage of their social services. But I'm here to tell you in this house, you can come in poor, but we're going to teach you how to get rich. Can I hear an amen? We're going to teach you how to break out of that and actually become an entrepreneur, or get a phenomenal job, get into God's blessing. We want you blessed and not cursed. We want you going forward and not staying where you are. We want you to increase and not decrease. And whether you like it or not, money plays a massive part in every one of our lives. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So last week we started talking about how the lender, you and I are called to be lenders and not borrowers. God has called us not to be people that are always going out and getting money from somebody else, but that you and I are to be the people that are so blessed that we get to lend. The Word of God says in the book of Romans, owe no man nothing except to love one another. For he who loves one another fulfills the law. So we know that God wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. Turn to someone and say, don't be the borrower. Be the lender. But you can't be the lender if you're always living hand to mouth. This is where God wants to bring a transition in our lives as believers and get us out of debt. Turn to someone and say, I hate debt. Tell somebody else, I hate debt. The Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The problem with debt is when you're in debt, you owe somebody. In fact, the Word of God declares in the book of Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. So if you're a borrower, you become a servant to somebody, whether it be a bank, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a friend. And man, they want their money. How many of you know they want their money? How many of you know they want their money? You don't pay your car payment, they're coming to take your car away. Fact is that when you owe somebody, you are indebted to them. You are a servant to them. They are requiring something from you. And you always know they're going to get their usury, which means they're going to get their interest. So as a believer, God wants to set us up to where we are going to be the lender and not the borrower, where we're going to be so blessed that people are going to around us say, what's going on in their life? God wants you blessed and not cursed. There's a lie that's permeated the body of Christ, that poverty actually makes you more spiritual. Listen, it doesn't make you more spiritual. Doesn't matter. Money doesn't do one thing or another. Fact is, somebody said to me once, well, you know, I don't want God to give me too much because I just don't know what I'll do and I want to serve God the rest of my life. Money can't make you serve God or not serve God. What money actually does when you get it, it actually shows your flaws because now you have the ability to fuel what you always wanted to do, just didn't have the money to accomplish it. The fact is it reveals in our hearts some things that are dark, but I'd rather get those darknesses out and be blessed. Some of you know poor is not fun. Anybody ever been poor? It's not fun. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't want too much. Well, I tell you, that is very selfish because the fact is that how can you bless somebody else if you only have enough for yourself? God wants to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. God wants you to prosper because God wants you to be able to have enough to give to other people. If you only have just enough for yourself, that is absolute selfishness. The Bible says very clearly in the book of Luke chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. I love this verse. It says this, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust with what is much, and just also in much. So what it's saying here is it's saying this is all about a heart issue. This has nothing to do with money in your pocket. This has nothing to do with the job that you have. This has to do with a heart issue. Because if you're going to be faithful with a little, he's going to start being able to be trusting you with faithful with more. But if God can't trust you with little, how can God trust you with more? See, this gets down to a real heart issue. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So God is saying this to his church. God is saying this to his body. Listen, if I can't trust you to be a good steward with money, how will I ever trust you with true spiritual riches? Some of you have been stymied in your relationship with Jesus. Some of you have come to you've come to a wall in your walk with God. And you're wondering, God, what's going on here? I want to do more for you. I want to live more for you. But you see, if you've been unrighteous or not have handled, stewarded God's money, I want to remind you that you and I own nothing. Amen. Was that your car? Yeah, that's my car. No, that's not your car. That's God's car. Can I hear an amen or oh my? See, this whole principle of riches comes down to the principle of learning that God has never called us to own anything. He's called us to be good stewards. I did this example years ago. If I could have you both come forward, here we go. Ready? You don't mind if I give it to you? I'm going to give you $50,000, Jeremy. Not bad, huh? 50 G's. But I'm going to give you the key to a department store that has groceries, that has clothing, that has everything that you could imagine. It's all in there. Who's wealthier? She is. Why is she wealthier?
What's that?
Access.
Because when his money's gone, what has he got? Nothing. But she has absolute access at any time that she desires. See, this is the difference between being an owner and having access. God did not put Adam and Eve in the garden to own the garden. He put them in there to manicure the garden, to be stewards of the garden. And when they were stewards and good stewards, they had everything they needed. You see, if you and I are the owner, when it runs out, who's the one that's got to take care of it? Ownership is not what God's plan is for your life. God's plan for your life is that you and I will be good stewards of what God's riches are in our lives. In that, you and I will be then trusted with greater things. And now we're talking about debt, because debt is the thing that actually destroys many marriages. Debt is the principle that brings many Christians, many sons and daughters of God, into a place of being a prisoner. In fact, national average says about 8 to 9% of believers tithe in church. That's not a lot of believers. That means over 90% of Christians do not tithe in the house of God. How many of you believe that it's God's will that all should be saved? How many believe the blood of Jesus washes away all your sin? How many believe that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved? How many believe that without Jesus, you can't go to heaven? Amen. How many believe that tithing is the will of God? See, if you believe in salvation, you've got to believe in tithing. But when you start talking about and talking to the believers about their tithing principles, you'll find that many of them have a desire to tithe, but they can't tithe because they're so delved in debt that they can't see their way out to give. And I'm here to tell you, God does not want you in debt or enslaved to this world, but God wants you free and free indeed. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you see, when you and I are free out of debt, then you and I are in a position and an opportunity to give to every need that is coming before us. Never mind tithing. Tithing is normal, but seed is what brings your increase. So here we are as believers. There are so many that have not been good stewards of earthly money, and they're wondering why they're not moving ahead in the things of the Spirit. If God can't trust you with money, how can he trust you with spiritual principles? There's a need for us as believers to come into alignment with the Word of God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? There's a need for us to say, Lord Jesus, my life, whether it because I was young or just foolish or my problems in life, I've got to realign myself because I don't want to owe no man anything except for love. And I do not want to be the servant of the borrower. Amen. What's amazing about stewardship is the whole Matthew 25. Anybody ever read Matthew 25? When you read Matthew 25, do you know what the whole chapter is about? Stewardship. You and I have been called to steward or to oversee or to manage what God has given us and blessed us with. You know, we've been called to manage or oversee our relationship with Jesus. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, the scripture says. That we are called to make sure that we're spending time with the Lord, that we're being good stewards with our time and reading the Word of God, being in the house of God, investing in our spiritual man. For physical exercise profiteth little, but we're called to build ourselves in the Spirit and build ourselves up in the most holy faith. As believers, as Christians, God has called us to be stewards of our spiritual man. We've also been called stewards of our families. Can I hear an amen? Dad, you're stewards for your wife and your children. You are stewards to show them how to live for God, how to pray, how to read the Word, how to do ministry. You and I have been called to be stewards. Wives, you've been called to be stewards of your marriage, to take care of your husband, raise your children in the love and admonition of the Lord, and be part of the kingdom in doing something for Jesus. We've also been called to be stewards of finances. Because whether you like it or not, your entire life is wrapped around money. Every one of you this week sold your life.
You sold your life to a company. You sold your life to a business. You sold your life. You sold it to somebody for a wage. Some of you at minimum wage. Some of you at $20 an hour. Some of you at $100 an hour. Well, no matter what the cost is, you still sold yourself. And in that, we've got to recognize that as I'm giving the greatest commodity that I have, money comes and money goes. Can I hear an amen? Money does come and money does go. Most of the time it seems to go quicker than it comes. But there's something that you're selling that is more powerful and more valuable than anything, and that is your time. You can never get your time back. Once you've sold your time, you cannot go back and redeem it. The Bible says, actually, redeem the time, for the days are evil. That means take your time and be wise with it. Make sure you're using it properly. Why? Because we're stewards of our time. Everything that God has on this planet is about stewardship for you and I. Because we're not the owner, we are the steward. We're not the owner, we have access. We're not the owner, but we're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So as believers, we are called to do something wise with what he's given us. Debt is powerful because debt puts us in a position where we're no longer in control. At first, when you go into debt, it's like, well, you know something? You know, you got to do what you got to do. Oh. When you go into debt, you know, you can, how many of you know that you can convince yourself of anything? But debt is so powerful because it literally arrests you. It literally imprisons you. Now you owe somebody. Now you are the servant to the borrower. Lender, excuse me. And now they can do whatever they want to you. Can you get out? I've always wanted to do this to this kid, but he's bigger than me. I think that that is worse than ever beating him up. He's just touching his hair. What happens in many of your lives and many of our lives over the years have been literally this. We're working 40 hours a week. We're making a wage. We're living hand to fist. We're barely making it by. No matter what our situation, God does not ever call you to be in this position to where you are literally a prisoner to debt. Amen. Debt is not your friend. Debt is not your friend. It is never $25 a month. Last week I gave you the statistic. If you borrow $4,700, I believe it was $4,700 at, I think it was 17 to 18% interest, it's going to take you over 15 years to pay that credit card off. Time after time, we're putting ourselves in a position that God doesn't want us in because God wants to be able to work through you in your finances. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. God doesn't have a printing press in heaven. God is raising you up to be blessed. God is raising you up to be wealthy. God is raising you up to have more than enough. God is raising you up to a position where you can be the lender and not the borrower. God is raising you up to be out of jail so that you can bless somebody else. I'm here to tell you today, as a believer, we've got to change our mindset. You are not spiritual because you don't have money. And you're not spiritual if you do have money. Your walk with God, your intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that is the only thing that puts you in a posture with the heavens to where you know God and walk with God. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. It's when you love money more than you love God. And this is where we've got to realign ourselves and say to ourselves, I do not want to be in this position. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But this is not freedom. He can't get out of it anytime he wants.
I've got the key. And whoever lends you has your key. They have the ability, if they need to make you work more because you got to pay that bill, or they're going to come take it away. We've got to make a decision. That debt is not my friend. That debt is not going to be part of my life. That I'm going to get out of debt. Now listen, I'm going to explain to you in just in a little bit that there is good debt, and we're going to talk about that. But right now, I'm talking about the debt that is choking you, the debt that is arresting you, the debt that is imprisoning you, the debt that doesn't put you in a position where you can give and you can tithe. Some of you, when I talked about the parking lot, you know what? Your head said, I'd love to give to that, but I don't got enough money to give to that. That's what I'm talking about. That's the prison. I want to have more than enough so that no matter what the need is, I'm going to be able to write a check. But you can't do that when you're so far in debt that you can't live beyond where you live right now. So why do people go into debt? Some people go into debt to keep up with the Joneses. Well, you know, I got to look good. I don't want people to think that I'm bad. I live in this neighborhood. I got to drive this level car. So you're able to go into debt and now you're driving yourself. Listen, you're not driving yourself. The lender is driving you. Some people go into debt because they see what their mom and dad has at 40, 50, 60 years old, and they want it in their 20s. They forgot it took mom and dad all those years to build that wealth. Some because they think it's actually going to fulfill a need in their life. Well, you know what? If I buy this, then I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm here to tell you, no thing is going to make you feel better about yourself. I don't care how nice a car you drive, what kind of house you live in. I don't care what you have for toys. After about a month, it's still an old toy. And it loses its candor. As believers, you can never allow something to fill your heart because that's the place that Jesus belongs. Some people go into debt because they think it's prestigious. Some people go into debt because they're trying to make up for what they didn't have when they were kids. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what your reason for going into debt, you've got to know your reason. You've got to understand yourself. Now, listen, I'm going to be transparent here because what are you looking at? Get to work. When I'm in a position where I want to buy stuff, man, in the old days, I would just go buy it. I'd buy it on credit. I'd MasterCard it, I'd Visa it, or I'd go to a store that I knew would have a card and I'd buy what I wanted to buy because I needed it. No, let me tell you what it was. I finally figured it out in my own heart. I'm not saying not going to heaven, but when my relationship with Jesus is not where it's supposed to be, I'm going to go start buying stuff. I identified it finally after I dug more than one hole. But I finally came to an understanding that whenever I want to go buy something, how many of you know that men don't go buy $25 things? That's why you're there, Cole. You're there because you want to buy stuff. Truthfully, we don't buy $25 things. If I want to buy something, it's usually going to be thousands. And it's going to be nice. Like I told you last week, I controlled myself. I went out and I found new Sitka gear. Anybody know what Sitka gear is? Only the hunters know what that is. That is the best hunting gear on the market today. And I figured, you know, it's going to be, you know, $400 or $500 for a new outfit, you know, to wear it out and so I can be warm in the woods. And I went and priced that stuff. It was $1,500. And I said to myself, nay, saith the Lord. And my wife was happy. But in the old days, I would have gone and bought it on credit and paid $25 a month for the next 25 years. But you see, you've got to know why you do what you do. You've got to know what motivates you. You've got to know why you put yourself in debt. If you don't figure that out, then you're going to come back around in the cycle all over again. Why do you buy what you buy? What is going on in your heart? What is going on in your head? As a steward, we don't have the right to do whatever we want. We've been bought with a price. Can I hear an amen? The money is not our money. It's all God's money. The house we live in is not our house. It's God's house. The cars we drive are not our cars. They're God's cars. The clothes we have, they're not our clothes. They're God's clothes. Everything we have is God's, or we're the owner, and we lose access. One of the first things you got to do is simply this. You got to learn how to live within your means.
Amen. Say it again.
Did you hear my wife say that? You got to learn to live within your means.
Amen.
Learning to live within your means does not learn. It does not mean. It does not mean you spend what you get.
Right.
Living within your means, Liz, means you live under what you get. When you learn to live under what you get, listen, most people, what they do is if they're making $30,000 a year, their level of spending is up to $30,000. And then if they get a $10,000 raise, they're now living. They've raised their living to $40,000. Then at 60, they raise their living to $60,000. That's not living within your means. That's putting yourself as a prisoner. And what happens is this, living within your means is living under what you make, so that when there's a problem, you always have not only a nest egg, but you don't might not be able to get a $60,000 job, but you can get a $40,000 job, and you can still live. You see, when you start learning to live within your means, this is one a number one key. When you start learning to live within your means, you've already started to do this in your life. You've already started to take the locks off your life. Now, I'm not saying that you're out of the stocks. I'm not saying that you're already done and all out of this whole thing. But what I'm saying is you started. When you learn to live within your means, you've started to break the power of debt and poverty in your life. Let me tell you the spirit of poverty. You can make $100,000 a year and still be in poverty. When you learn to live inside your means, you're learning, you're starting the process of getting out of prison. Get out or I'll put you back in. Stay out, never go in, my wife says. So debt is powerful. When you learn to live within your means, you're going to learn how to live successful. Now listen now, most churches are not going to teach you this from the pulpit, but I think you need to know this, amen? I think you need to be debt-free. Can I hear an amen? I think that you need to not be imprisoned anymore. Can I hear an amen? I think that you need to have more than enough. Can I hear an amen? I think that you and I, man, not only can we tithe, but when somebody comes, we can sow into their lives and see God bring a harvest back to us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. But we can't do that when we're stuck. So this message is not just practical, it is spiritual. Because if God can't trust you with mammon, he'll never trust you with spiritual principles. Your next process is learning how to live in a budget.
Boy,
that was loud, wasn't it? You'll find most Christians do not have a budget. They do not live within. What's a budget? Exactly. A budget is necessary for you and I to make sure that our lives are in order. A budget is this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people perish or are in confusion and chaos." You see, if you don't have a budget, you don't have a vision. You're living hand to mouth. You're living in survival mode, and God has never called you to live that way. He's called you to live with a vision, and a vision means that you have a plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You got to have a plan. What is the plan of God?
The plan for you is to have a budget that you and I can look and make sure that we manage. Everybody shout manage. Manage God's money well so that he will prosper us. He'll trust us with more so we can have increase. You see, most people don't even think about that. They don't put that in their lives. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40 says this, let all things be done decently and in order. How many things are all? Everything, even your finances. When your finances are in order, you have a peace that you don't have when they're not. So budgets are important. In fact, in your Grow book, we actually have the ability for you to make a budget. So this is what it looks like right up here. It shows you how to put together income and expense plan of the month. Your giving, your saving, your housing, utilities, food, transportation, insurances, incidentals, debt, etc., etc. And to make it so that you can create a budget, you can create a vision for your family. If you do not have a budget, you will live in debt. You got me, baby? Thank you. Let me tell you what we trained our children. We trained our children with this principle. When you do a budget, you live on 70% of your money. Everybody say 70. Thank you, dear. So if you're making $100, 70% is 70. Now I'm talking take home. Some of you are saying, what do you mean, gross or net? Well, you only have a choice for net. So let's make it swish. Amen? So here we go. You're bringing home $100. You live off 70% of that. And then you tithe 10%, you save 10%, and you invest 10%. 70, 10, 10, 10. When you do a premarital counseling with me, I actually demand you to do two budgets. One budget so that you know you can afford it, and two, when your wife gets pregnant and she doesn't want to go back to work, can you still live? So the problem comes down to is if you're not living by 70, 10, 10, 10, then what is controlling your money? What is controlling as a steward the finances that have been put in your hands? Now, as we trained all of our children this way, all of our children live 70, 10, 10, 10. In fact, Corinne actually lives better than 70, 10, 10, 10. They all own their own homes, or God owns their homes. They're stewards of such. And they're all blessed in everything they do and everything they touch. They're phenomenal givers. And the reason they do that is because they've learned how to live by a budget so that they can have more than enough to be a giver whenever there's a need that's presented to them. And listen, I can tell you right from the pulpit, my children have emptied their bank accounts more times than I can count. Honestly, when a need comes forward, we're down at Brother Ted's or something, they'll literally write a check and empty their bank accounts. They'll empty all their savings because they want to give to the kingdom to sow to receive a harvest. But you can't do that if you have nothing. If you can't live 70, 10, 10, 10, then you should be living, 70, 10, then you should be living 80, 10, 10. Did you write that down? 80, 10, 10. You live off 80% of your income, you tithe 10% of your income, and you have 10% for emergencies. So that way, if you blow a tire on the highway, you're not going to have to use MasterCard as your friend. Amen. Amen. Some of you have got yourself in trouble over genuine needs. Your washing machine breaks, but you've got nothing. You've never lived by a budget. So now the washing machine breaks, but you, listen, this is the way I don't handle the money in my house. And I have nothing to do with the money in this house. Amen. Thank you, honey, for that encouragement. I have gotten much better. But when I was handling the money at our house, this was probably 20 years ago, at the end of every month when there was money left over, of course, every bill was paid. We made sure every bill was paid. Everything was taken care of. We were not late. We had great credit scores, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of every month, I believed all excess belonged to me to take to Dick's Sporting Goods and enjoy myself. So there was never a savings. When she took over the money, she said, oh my goodness, we got a lot of money left over at the end of the month. I said, we do? Let's move on. I feel it getting hot in here. So you got to have a budget. Some of you have never, ever, ever created a budget for your life. Be decent and in order. Be a good steward of God's money. And you'll find if he can trust you with a little bit of money, he'll start trusting you with more money. And he'll trust you with more spiritual principles so that you can accelerate in your walk with God. Amen. I'll say it to myself. Amen. Now, this next one is a hot one because we're talking about debt. There is good debt and bad debt depending upon who you talk with. I'm going to leave this into your hands, but I'm going to give you some basic principles. It's very rare for somebody to have $150,000, $100,000 to $150,000 in the bank to be able to place down on a house to buy. It's rare that you're going to have a few hundred grand if you want to buy a real nice house, a few hundred grand in the bank, you can just place it down and boom, you're debt free. Most people are going to have to get a mortgage of some type. But I want you to realize you'll never get a mortgage if you don't have a budget because you'll never save anything for your down payment. And you can rent. But these days, you're paying the same amount in rent that you would pay, come on now, to buy a house with. My wife just said this. Just don't buy with outside of your means. So you don't want to go buy a $300,000 house if you can only afford a $100,000 house. And sometimes banks will give you that money. And then you're in trouble. Now you're owned by your house. We've got to be wise with what we do. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we know that many times we have to get mortgages. But we strive, my wife and I strive even in our mortgage to pay that off. We're striving, we pay extra every single month to pay it off quicker. So we have equity. Right now, if we sold our house, we'd make really, really good money. Why? Well, because we've been paying extra. We're making sure that in our budget, we're not just sitting there and paying minimums. But you have to pay minimum if you don't have a budget. Amen. Because there's no way for you to organize how to save to pay more. And if God can't trust you with the little, he'll never trust you with the much. It's very rare for people to have these days the average car. Listen, if you buy a $5,000 car, you're going to probably put $5,000 into it to fix it. So many people have to get a loan to buy a car. But you want to make sure that if you're going to do that, you're going to have some equity in the car. You're not going to be so upside down that in 10 years it's falling apart on the street. You still owe $6,000. Now I want to talk to the business people because we're in a different spot than we used to be. In the old days, we would have a corporation and you'd be able to go buy something for the corporation. And it keeps your house and your corporation separate. Nowadays, they don't do that anymore. Many times now, banks are requiring a personal guarantor for your business. And man, there are business people. They've tried to do that here. The reason we don't have to have that here on this mortgage of this building is simply because we didn't go through a regular bank, a conventional bank. We went through a bank that are just born-again people that invest in churches. That's the only way we got the loan that we have. And in this house, we're sitting on over $1 million in equity. God has blessed us. Can I hear an amen? We built a $3.7 million building for $1.1 million. God blessed us. But at the same time, it's necessary. There are business people in the house. They have to put their houses up as equity to be able to buy something that is going to help their business grow. I want you to know that that's not bad debt. Because these days, you don't have choices. But you see, some of the religious world are telling you that everything you buy, if it costs you something, if you got to get a loan for it, that is bad debt. And that's just not true. You got to work with your accountant to make sure that you're going to be in a better posture, in a better position. I know I'm boring some of you, but some of you just got a light bulb that went on in your head. I'm going to end with this. There's one type of debt that you cannot have in your life. You cannot have credit card debt. Now, let me explain something to you. My daughter, at the age of 18 years old, wanted to buy a house. She had all the savings in her bank to go buy a house, my daughter, Corinne. So my wife and I went around looking at houses with my sister, who's a real estate agent, and we're out looking at homes, and Corinne found one in the Heights, and so we went to the bank, and she had the money for the down payment, and the bank looked at her and says, well, we can't loan that to you without a co-signer. And my wife and I know the Bible says don't be a co-signer. So we didn't co-sign for her, but this is what the bank said to her. It's not that you have bad credit, you have no credit. So go get a car loan and go get a credit card to build your credit score so you can buy a house. Isn't that amazing? They want you to go into debt. But I'm here to tell you very clearly that you do usually have to have a credit card, but you can own the credit card, but the credit card doesn't have to own you. And you can make the credit cards work for you. My wife and I were going down in the airport in Detroit, and this lady stepped out. She said, listen, it's a Delta hub. And she said, how would you be interested in getting a Delta credit card with American Express with 75,000 miles for free if you spend such and such amount of money in 3 months? I looked at my wife and I said, yep, we're both getting one. That's 75,000 free air miles. We paid our bills on those for the next 3 months and paid them off every single month. Every single month, that credit cards are completely paid off. Every single week, that credit card is paid off. And in this church, we have a credit card that has tens of thousands of dollars worth of credit on it, but every week, it's paid off. But we buy on it because it gives us the ability to use what it offers to us. So we're walking through the airport about 8 months ago, and all of a sudden another lady stepped out and she said, hey, would you be interested in this American Express Delta credit card? I said, well, we already have that one. She said, would you be interested in the platinum one? And she said, it comes with 75,000 points. I said, sure, we'll both take one. So we got the credit card. Now we have 150,000, come on now, 150,000 air miles available to us, points available to us. Now, we're going to go to Hawaii next year for our 30th wedding anniversary. We're going to fly first class on Delta, and it's not going to cost us a dime. Free flights. Because we made the credit cards work for us instead of us working for the credit cards. Do not have credit debt on credit cards. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Well, you know, I'm going to just, they offered me a couch. If I buy a couch and I pay it off in 3 months, it's 0% interest. Most people don't pay it off. Now you not only owe now 26% interest on that couch, now you owe the back interest that you now owe. Be wise. Don't get in credit card debt. Turn to someone and say, stay out of credit card debt. I can't hear you. Tell somebody else, get out of credit card debt. Now I'm going to teach you real quick how to get out of it. Here we go. Show it up on top. This is called the snowball. You take your first credit card, you owe $150 on it. You pay off the $150. Now you take the $25 minimum payment and you don't go put that back in your pocket. You now use it for your next credit card payment. So now instead of paying $50 a month for the minimum credit card payment on the card you owe $600 to, now you're paying $75. Now once you pay that off, you go for your third credit card that you owe $1,000 on. You pay $100 a month. Now you're paying $175 a month with the last ones, and now you're going to pay that off quicker. Then you take it to your student loan. Now it's a $250 loan. Now you're paying $425 because you're taking all that money and you're creating a snowball. Now you're going to pay off your debt quicker, and now you're going to be able to get free. Turn to someone and say, I want to be free. You sure do, because there's nothing that's going to keep you awake longer than credit card debt. They're going to put you in chains. They're going to lock you up. And they're going to say, hey, I'll see you in 15 years for that $4,000 credit card. Pastor, I was at the mall the other day, and I went to the puppy shop, and I saw this puppy. It had eyes this big, and I just fell in love with that puppy. How many of you know mutt puppies used to go for free? Now they're $3,000. They've taken two or three breeds, put them together, and now we call that a mutt. And now they call it a breed. So you go up and you find that big-eyed puppy, and now it's $3,000. Well, you know, I just couldn't leave it there. I just fell in love with that puppy. You took out a credit card for $3,000. That puppy's going to cost you $495,000. And after it eats your hat, you're going to wish you hadn't have done it. Can I hear an amen? Don't go into debt on credit cards. Say amen. Get out of credit card debt. Say amen. Do not be owned by the creditors. Say amen. Be a lender and not a borrower. Say amen. Then be a sower. Telling you something, you learn what Terry and Kayla did, you'll get out of debt quicker because you'll get in God's favor. And all of a sudden, God will start bringing money where you never thought money would come from. And all of a sudden, you can start, listen now, when God sends that money, you don't go spend it somewhere. You go put it on your bills. Say amen. I said, say amen. I said, say amen. Amen. I just sold something. I sold something. Man, it was nice. And I sold it, and I made some really good money on it. And man, the temptation is, well, now I got money. I can go buy something. I could buy Sitka. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I got that for you so you could pay off something. Man, paying off something's not as fun as buying something new until you're free. And then you can actually afford to buy something. Can I hear an amen? God wants you free. Credit card debt is evil. Man, I want to encourage you. Get out of debt as quickly as possible. Pay your house off. Do something. Don't just sit in debt and allow debt to control you. Be a lender and not a borrower. Oh, man, nothing except for love. And I want you to know that you're going to be able to sleep really good at night. I just want to encourage you, because as your pastor, I believe that God's going to raise this house up to be a prosperous house. I believe there are going to be multiple millionaires in this home. Maybe you're one. I love the fact that our bishop, he's taken 17 people that started off on welfare, and now they're multimillionaires. Amen. I'm believing, God, that you're going to be able to write a check for $10,000 anytime you want to help in ministry, to help encourage and build somebody. Man, I don't know about you. I love writing $1,000 checks, but I can't wait to write the first $10,000 check. I can't wait to write the first $100,000 check. Can I hear an amen? I can't wait to be able to have so much that I can just look at a need, maybe look at your life, maybe buy you a car. Jesus, help us all. I've given cars away, but I wouldn't mind buying a brand new one and giving it to somebody in need. But you can't do that, man, when you're owned in debt. Get out of debt. Turn to somebody and say, get out of debt. Remember, this is about access, not ownership. You and I need to get out of debt. Bow your heads with me this morning. Every one of us owed a debt we could not pay. The greatest debt we owe is our sin. For the wages of sin is death. You see, there is a price to pay for the sin. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you to join. I don't have a church for you to join. There's no membership in this church. But I know a Savior who paid the price for you. I know a Jesus that went to the cross and his blood washes away every single stain. He gives you hope. He gives you purpose. He gives you direction. He gives you reason. And he gives you eternity to be with the Father. Somebody had to pay for that debt. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
It's time to get out of debt. It's time to have him wash your sins away. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, it's worse than credit card debt. Because it's not 15 years to pay the $4,700. It's eternity to pay for every single sin. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, you want him to pay the debt that you owe, you want him to wash your sins away, you want to have a relationship with God, you want to walk in his principles and know that if you die today, you'll be with him. But not only that, if you live today, you won't survive with him, but you'll thrive with him. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here this morning that needs Jesus as their Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Many of you brought your bills laying here at the altar. We want to encourage you to grab them at the end of service. But if you all stretch your hands out to the altar for those who are believing by faith for supernatural debt cancellation, we're going to be getting into that in the next few weeks, how God wants to supernaturally, once you've stepped into his principles, make you free. Father, we speak over these bills in the name of Jesus. Some of them are so oppressive, God, that, Lord, they even faint at breath when they look at them. Lord, I declare whether they be student loans, whether they be house payments, whether they be car payments, whether, Lord, they even be divorces. I declare in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak even over the medical bills in the name of Jesus. And I declare that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you supernaturally release a blessing, that God, you'll be able to get them out of debt. Lord, not in the way of their timing, but God supernaturally showing how powerful you are. God, we thank you for freedom. We, your church, weren't born to be poor. We're born to be blessed. So, Lord, we lie upon the principles of your word and choose to live them, that we will walk in prosperity all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I just heard this as I was praying. Somebody said, well, is this the prosperity gospel? You better believe it. And every one of you believe in the prosperity gospel. The next time you're offered a raise, give it back. Everybody here believes in increase. So I don't care what foolishness you've been listening to. God is the God of increase. He's not the God of detraction. He's the God of addition and multiplication. And I want to serve a God who's going to increase and not steal. Amen? Not make me poor to try to make me spiritual. He's a God that looks at your heart, and that's all that matters to him. Amen? Serve God with all of your heart. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. We know that God is going to make you free, and free indeed. Enjoy your week. Fill your own next week. Remember, Brother Estrada will be here. You're not going to be disappointed.
Amen.